Well, it's official. Facebook has decided to take itself public. An initial public offering will be sometime in the next several months, but the papers were filed yesterday. Facebook is already a very profitable company, but filing to go public means they can raise money in the stock market, and the market is likely to be very generous with the money they will give Facebook. Facebook says it's only asking for or seeking $5 billion, but estimates in anticipation of the filing were as high as $10 billion in the amount of money they would raise, and the valuation for the company could be as high as $75 to $100 billion, which would put it larger than most companies traded on the New York Stock Exchange, at least the Dow Jones Industrial Average. It would be one of the largest companies in terms of valuation on the NYSE. But what does it mean culturally for a social network that has to be among the most public of places online? 845 active monthly users. That's also in the Facebook paper filings yesterday at the end of 2010. 845 million. I mean, you can't get more public than that. So what does it mean for this company to go public? Ian Maud joins us. He's an analyst with Ender's Analysis, joins us from London. Ian Maud, welcome to the program.
Well, good morning.
So, you know, the business issue here is pretty straightforward. At a certain point, Facebook has to go public, or else all the people who hold their stock will just leave the company. They basically want to cash out, right?
Right. I would guess, yeah, that's part of it. And as you say, they also want to raise money to invest in growing the business. So I think there's a sort of dual pressure there, both keeping the people who are there already on board and making them happy, and also raising some additional funds to invest in the future.
And there you are, Ian Maud, speaking as an analyst with Ender's Analysis. But we also want to get into your sort of memory bank regarding your time at AOL. People remember AOL, America Online. It's a trivia question now. Former vice president at AOL.
I vaguely remember, yeah.
Yes, you vaguely remember. Now, you were there at the company during AOL's IPO, right?
I joined just after. So when I joined, it was when everybody was making the jokes about America on hold rather than America online. And it's when Bob Pittman joined up with Steve Case and really turned the business around. So it was just after the float. But it was a sort of similar time. Obviously, it was a very different environment back then. The internet was much more sort of nascent, whereas today it's really just an established part of all of our daily lives. But we were going through a similar sort of experience in terms of just this sort of hyper growth, huge hype around the company, and it was a very exciting time and very, very easy to lose focus.
And that's the issue. I mean, the story of AOL is once it went public, the story is that it lost its way in a sense.
Yeah, I think that's true. And actually, the beginning of the end was really the buyout of Time Warner, which was definitely an acquisition too far. And then secondly, the switch from dial-up to broadband, which made it a much more competitive environment, brought a lot of the cable operators into the market. And we also saw the rise of, I think back then the sort of AOL, Yahoo business model were really based on, sort of all-in-one services where you basically got everything that you needed online in one place, i.e. from Yahoo or AOL or whoever it was. But since then, and really Google was one of the sort of early players in this, was looking for, somebody really focused just on doing one thing really, really well. So obviously in Google's case, it's search. Now with, Facebook, it's social networking. So these companies are much more, it's changed with Google recently. Of course, they've moved into YouTube. They've moved into some other areas. But, really the demise of AOL was wrapped into the launch of these kind of best-of-breed services where, internet users, rather than just going to AOL and using their email, using their search, using their news, started to pick and choose based on who's the best provider.
Well, it's also an issue of figuring out what is the forest and what is the trees. I mean, in many ways, AOL and Yahoo assumed that the internet was going to be about the content that was coming to the individual users, whereas Facebook and Google understood that, no, in fact, the internet is much more about the specific choices of the user, and search enables those choices, and Facebook creates a whole other dimension of the users sort of showing themselves off as products. And when you have 800 million people sort of presenting themselves as consumers and products, all of a sudden advertisers are going crazy.
I think that's absolutely right. And although certainly AOL and Yahoo tried to position themselves as platforms as well. But you're right. Both companies became obsessed about content, and it's proven to be very difficult for content companies to make money out of the internet. Whereas the companies that are more focused on communication tools, in Facebook's case, providing a social utility, have been and really focusing on doing that and doing it better than anyone else. That's really where the money's been made.
The other interesting story here, Ian Maud, analyst with Ender's Analysis and a former vice president at AOL, is what Rupert Murdoch's been tweeting about the Facebook launch, because of course he bought MySpace, which was the predecessor to Facebook, and MySpace barely exists. I mean, I think its valuation is in the maybe tens, hundreds of millions, if that, and it was
bought for
billions.
Well, they bought it for $580 million, and they sold it for a fraction of that.
So, unbelievable.
You've got some very personal experience of seeing the value of a social network, rise and fall. I think that's true. I think Facebook is a much stronger proposition than MySpace ever was. I think Mark Zuckerberg, whether it was by accident or by design, was very clever in really forcing people to use their real identities on Facebook. And so the relationships on Facebook are actually real relationships between, between people. And that's, I think, made it a much more accessible and acceptable environment for more people. So that's made it much more appealing. And
it can evolve with technological change over the next decade, or do you think it will be supplanted as AOL was?
Right now it's pretty hard to see a challenger out there to Facebook. To be honest, there doesn't seem to be anyone else that's there isn't a kind of equivalent of Google waiting to supplant Yahoo here. I think we're sort of just getting into the Facebook era. The big question is how they're going to grow the business over the next few years, and also what the sort of revenue growth is likely to be. And there, I think it's a much more open question. That's much less certain.
Right. But being closer to the beginning than the end is absolutely key to the future of the stock. Ian Maud, analyst with Ender's Analysis, talking about the filing of the papers of Facebook to go public. Thanks so much.